The book of Hebrews, about two-thirds of the way through the New Testament, so toward the end of the New Testament, just a few books before the book of Revelation. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read just three verses this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. I trust you'll find your place in your Bible. We'll get ready to, I'll read aloud in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse number 1, down through verse number 3. If you found your place there, follow along if you would as I read it aloud. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, speaking of faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this morning as we begin. Father, we thank You for this Sunday morning. Thank You for this good crowd, Lord, those that have come out today. And Father, we want to hear from You. I thank You, God, for the direction You've given me and my thoughts and what I want to present this morning. But Father, I pray most of all that Your Spirit would take these words and apply them to our hearts. That Father, You'd open our eyes to some wonderful truth this morning. God, You'd remind us of a truth that maybe many of us already have. But Father, You'd use Your Word to speak to our hearts. God, we live in a very busy and active world, and Father, it's hard sometimes for us just to sit and to focus on the Word of God. And so I pray You'd give us a calmness of spirit. Father, give us a hunger for Your Word for the next few minutes. Father, give me clarity of thought and direction as I try to communicate to these Thy folks, Father, what You have laid upon my heart to give to them this morning. We pray that in all things You would be honored and glorified, and that You would do Your work in every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. As a preacher, I try to sometimes find a title for my sermon that will catch your attention. If I'm preaching on that story about the boy feeding the 5,000 people with his five loaves and two fish, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 just seems so mundane. Everybody knows that. But if I entitle that message, "The Lad and His Lunch," all right, that just kind of has a little snap to it, a little pizzazz, and so it kind of gets people's attention. There was a time where the Lord sailed across the Sea of Galilee. And when He went to the other side, you might remember the background of the story, but when He got to the other side, there was a wild man there in the land of the Gadarenes. And when He got there, this man came out of the tombs, and he was unclothed, he was uncouth, he was a wild man screaming and yelling. He would cut his body, he'd do all kinds of things. People had tried to tie him with ropes and all that, and he just broke everything. And the Lord came over there, and if you know the story in the Bible, He came over and He cast the devils out of that man into a herd of swine. Great story. A herd of swine that ran down in there, and then that man sat clothed and in his right mind. Well, we can preach on the maniac of Gadara, but that, again, that doesn't have that punch to it. How about the rude dude in a crude mood? All right, we like to find titles for sermons that'll just kind of get your attention, because the way we start it kind of lets you know whether you're going to tune in or tune out sometimes. Well, I have a problem this morning, because the sermon I'm going to preach this morning has a one word title, and it's simply this: faith. It doesn't grab your attention, really, does it? It doesn't. I searched for something I could use, but I thought that anything that I did would really detract from the goal of the text that we're looking at. And so this morning, don't feel shortchanged. Don't feel like you didn't get your money's worth. But this morning, I want to preach on this topic of faith. Twice in our verses, we found that word in verse number 1 and verse number 3. Also in verse number 2, the reference for "by it" is a reference to faith. So really, three times in three verses, the emphasis is placed on faith. You know, faith is a New Testament doctrine, if I could say it that way. A New Testament emphasis. I guess that's a better word for it. The word faith appears 247 times in the Bible. 247 times. I'm starting out for those with the deeper Bible study desire. 247 times in the Bible, but 245 of those are in the New Testament. So out of 247, 245 are in the New Testament. 24 of those are right here in Hebrews chapter 11. So the emphasis of the New Testament is on faith. Now that doesn't mean it wasn't present in the Old Testament. If we do the math, if there's 247 references, 245 in the New Testament, that means there's only two in the Old Testament, but those two speak volumes. One of those two references is Habakkuk 2:4, which says, "The just shall live by his faith." And that's a great statement about faith. In fact, it's repeated two other times in the Bible because it's so great. The just shall live by his faith. The only other reference to faith in the Old Testament is Deuteronomy 32:20, when the Lord says, "Children in whom is no faith." So you know what we find out in the Old Testament before we ever really get to the full introduction of faith? By these two references, the just shall live by his faith, and there are children in whom is no faith, shows us that there's a divide, and that divide is on one issue and one issue alone. It's not on religion. It's on faith. Those that have no faith and those that are justified by their faith. Faith is the determining factor. That groundwork is laid in the Old Testament and then fully developed in the New Testament. So that when the Lord looks at you and I in that day, He's looking for one thing primarily, one thing prominently, and that is your faith. The New Testament is full of expressions of faith. You'll recognize these as I give you a few of them. The Lord Jesus said, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed. All right, that's pretty small faith, right? But He emphasized that thing of faith. He said to His disciples at one time, when they were amazed at His power, He said to them, "O ye of little faith." When Jesus examined people, He examined them by their faith. Another time, He said to His disciples, "Where is your faith?" The Bible tells us that when Jesus comes again, will He find faith on the earth? Jesus, one time, had the disciples say to Him, "Lord, increase our faith." He said to one woman, a Syrophoenician, "Great is thy faith." And then He said, when someone wanted to be healed, "According to thy faith, so be it done unto you." I simply give you those little snippets or those verses or those familiar phrases from the New Testament as an introduction this morning for you to realize that faith is essential. Faith is important. Faith is the ingredient that God is looking for in your life. He's not looking for your righteous living. He's not looking for your baptism. He's not looking for your good works. Though all those things are good. When the Lord looks at these people, He's not talking to them about those things. Those things are rarely mentioned in the New Testament. When Jesus looked at people that were following, He asked them about their faith. So the question for you this morning, individually, how is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is your faith placed? How does your faith live out in your life? Every one of you has faith. It's just a matter of what you're putting your faith in. So let's look at what the Bible says this morning about this faith. Verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to call verse number 1 the definition of faith. The definition of faith. It says it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here's one reason we have a hard time with faith, because it's invisible. You can't see it. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Webster's Dictionary, the early one, the 1828 dictionary, defines faith as this, belief. And that's a good synonym for faith. It says it's belief. It says the assent or the agreement, the assent of the mind to the truth of what is being declared by another. Nobody is original. There's nobody here that could say, what I believe, nobody else has ever believed before. You're just a copycat. It just depends who you're copying. You could be copying some great philosopher. You could be copying some great atheist. You could be copying some great Christian. It doesn't matter who you're copying, but you are not original. Don't get that high of an opinion of yourself. And so every one of us believes something, and our faith is putting our belief in something that has been declared by someone else. Webster goes on to say, someone in authority. Whatever it is we believe, we show that we believe the person that originated that is the one that knows what's right, and so we put our faith in that. Everyone has faith. It just depends on what it's in. You know how I know everybody has faith? Because I stand at the back door when folks are coming into church in the morning. And I watch people come in. And I have yet, in 32 years of this church, I have yet seen someone come to the door, stop at the door, examine the framework, look at the architecture, see whether or not the beams are sturdy enough to take that step across the threshold. See whether or not they think the roof is going to cave in or not when they come in. You know what you did when you got here this morning? Without even thinking about it, you walked right in that door, right behind a bunch of sheep. We all walked in right behind the person in front of us. We didn't even stop to think, I wonder if this building is secure enough for me to walk into. You know why? You had faith in the architecture. You had faith in the architect. You had faith in this building when you walked in. You didn't even stop to question it. We have faith in everything that we do during the day. You walked in here and you came up to that pew. Now this will exercise your faith. Some of these pews are 16 feet long, 21 feet long. And look at the number of people that are sitting on one pew. But nobody came in here and ducked their head under and looked to see how big the legs were on that pew. When I'm looking at these, you see what's holding you guys up? It's a little thin piece of wood, about that thick, spaced every so many feet apart. There's just that's all that's holding that pew in the ground, and we're not going to get into weights and measures anything here, but you put a bunch of people on one of those benches, and those little legs are holding that up, and yet you walked in, and you didn't look underneath the pew to see how sturdy the legs were. You didn't push on the seat to see whether or not it would hold your weight when you sat down. You did not rock the back of it to see whether or not when you leaned back it would give. You just came in by faith and plopped down and sat on that pew believing it was going to hold you up. Why? Because you had every confidence, you had faith in the carpenter that built that pew. You don't even know who he is. I don't even know who he is. He's probably not even alive anymore as long ago as these were built. But we exercise faith all the time. Faith in something that we give mental assent to, that the originator of that must have known what he's doing or saying, and we give our assent to it. Can I tell you this morning? You choose what you believe. Every one of us, you individually, you choose what you believe. You have influences. You have teachers and instructors, but ultimately you decide for yourself what it is you believe. You know what that makes faith? It makes it a very important thing. Because what you believe is important. In the religious realm, people make decisions on what they believe. Someone that's a Buddhist will believe that they are following the path to enlightenment. All right, that's their key, their paths to enlightenment. Someone that is a Muslim follows the five pillars of Islam, and they dedicate themselves to that. They have chosen to believe that that is the way to paradise. Someone who is a Hindu believes in reincarnation. That you come back over and over again, that life continues on, that life is never ending, and you come back in different forms at different places according to your behavior. Everybody has a system of belief. Christians, we believe in a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and we believe that it comes by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Everybody has some kind of faith. You say, what about those that don't believe anything? That's faith. The atheist has faith. He has faith that everybody else is wrong and that there is no God, and he is making a conscious decision for himself to decide that he has faith in the fact that there is no God. Everybody has faith. The question is, who influences our faith? What determines our faith? What decides our faith? And so the definition of faith is simply this. It's the substance of things hoped for. All those religions I just mentioned, they hope for this, they hope for that, they hope for the other thing. It is the evidence of things not seen. When you run into a Buddhist or a Muslim, a Hindu, a Christian, an atheist, it won't take long in conversation, it won't take long in talking to them if you get into the religious realm to find out what they believe. It will come out. The faith is unseen, it's behind. But it shows the definition of faith. Secondly, look at verse number 2. For by it, that is, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Who are the elders? Well, Hebrews 11 goes on to mention them by name. In verse number 4, it talks about Abel. In verse 5, it talks about Enoch. In verse 7, it talks about Noah. You may have heard of him. In verse number 8, it talks about Abraham. Verse number 11 talks about Abraham's wife, Sarah. Down in verse 20, it talks about Isaac. Verse 21, Jacob. Verse 22, Joseph. Verse 23, Moses. Then down in verse 31, Rahab. 10 people are mentioned in that context by name. Those are the elders, the folks that lived long ago. And the Bible says that by faith, now again, we mentioned that the word faith only appears twice in the Old Testament. That doesn't mean it was non-existent. Again, it divided people from those that the just to the children in whom was no faith. But then we get a list of these 10 people, all of whom lived in Old Testament times. And the Bible tells us that their faith was, or their actions were a testimony of their faith. And that's what verse number 2 is, the testimony of faith. I can ask you what you believe, and you might tell me. But I'll find out what you believe better by watching how you live. Now, God didn't call me to do that, so I'm not gonna do that. We say it this way, your walk should match your talk. And your walk speaks louder than your talk. And so if I want to know what you believe or you want to know what I believe, just watch me for the day, or I'll watch you for the day and listen to you for the day, and you'll find out exactly what it is you believe. Your faith is not hidden, though it's invisible. It shows itself. By it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. I like this. Look, if you would, here at Hebrews 11. I know I just named the names, but notice what it says before every one of those names. I just read 10 of them. In verse 4, I read the name Abel, but notice what it says right before it. By faith, Abel. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 11, through faith also, Sarah. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Verse 31, by faith, Rahab. See, here's those 10 elders that are mentioned, and others are mentioned later in verse number 32. 6 more names are brought up. But all their names were brought up, and faith was attributed to them, but their faith was invisible. What their faith caused them to do made their faith show. And so you and I today, our faith is invisible. It can't be seen. You know why we have baptism? The act of baptism or the ordinance of baptism in the Bible is not for salvation. Some folks get really confused on that. I don't want to sound sarcastic or anything along that line, but they believe that when they dip somebody down in water, somehow that washes away their sins. Now, it might wash away the dirt from their body, but it is impossible, according to the Word of God, for baptism to wash away sins. Sins are not a tangible thing that can be scrubbed off of your body. There's something on the inside. So what is the purpose of that baptism? Well, the Bible simply declares that it is a outward show of an inward faith. When someone puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, nobody can see that. It's invisible. But we do something to show our faith, and one of the first steps of a young believer is that when they put their faith in Christ, they go through the act of believer's baptism to declare outwardly what has happened to them personally, inwardly. And it sets the pattern for the rest of their life. Before a person is saved, before they're born again, their actions show where their faith is. Whether it's in God, whether it's in something else, whether it's in themselves. And then when salvation takes place, what a change happens. When they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, acknowledge that His death on Calvary's cross is the only thing that could wash away their sin, the only thing that could save them, and they put their faith in that. See, faith is not just mental assent. Faith is not just agreeing intellectually. Faith is placing it in that source, placing it in that person, and knowing that it's true and receiving it as truth. There are a lot of folks that can tell you Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was born of a virgin. Herod came and killed all the babies under 2 years old. His dad took him Joseph took him and fled to Egypt for 2 years. He came back, he healed people. They can give you all kinds of facts and figures. He was crucified, he was buried. On the third day he rose again. They can know all the details. That's not faith, that's intellect. Faith is when you believe that what he did for you. What he did to pay your sin debt on Calvary's cross. And that the only way you'll ever enter into heaven's gate is by accepting and receiving what He did for you. Somebody says, well, I don't need that. Your faith is in yourself. You think you're good enough to make it on your own. See, your faith is in something. It's just a matter of what your faith is in. The atheist is gambling and taking a chance that there is no God, and they put their faith in that, and when they die, if they're wrong, and if the Bible's right, and you know where I stand on that, that's not a question. They're going to find out their faith was misplaced. And there's a lot of people in the world today running around with misplaced faith. So our faith is a test. Our works are a testimony of our faith. Turn, if you would, right after Hebrews is the book of James. James obviously makes it much clearer than I ever could. The book of James chapter 1. Notice what James says about this thing about faith. In verse 28 he says, James chapter 2 verse 18. Am I getting this right yet? James chapter 2 verse 18. James writes this, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." See, faith is invisible. Faith shows itself by our works. And Christian, your works show that your faith is placed in the right place. And if we're not saved, watch the world out there. Good night. Observation is the best instructor in the world. And just sit and watch this world and what they're pursuing and what they're running after, how they're spinning their wheels to get something that they're going to lose the moment they die. And all their attention and all their energy and everything is spent toward that. That's their work. What is it based on? The faith that I got to get everything I can right now because this life is all there is, and when it's over, there's nothing after that. That's faith. And their works are indicating their faith. Faith and works are two different things. Faith produces works, whatever the faith is. Whatever the faith is in, it produces the works. The works will be according to the faith. Works are the result of faith. If you're saved right now, your works are completely different than they were before you got saved. Your life has changed. Your life is different. Your heart's different. Your mind is different. Your attitude's different. Your life's different. Your conversation is different. Everything's different when you know Christ as your Savior. And so that shows by its works. It wasn't the works that changed it. You can't just put on these new things and think that'll do it. It takes faith first. Turn, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, back a few pages from where you're at. And I know you know this verse. But look at Ephesians chapter 2. Back before Hebrews, just a few pages. Talking about this thing about faith and works not being identical, not being the same. They should match. And really, they do match. Your works will reflect your faith. How strong your faith is, how little your faith is. Whether you have faith or whether you have no faith. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, the Bible says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith." We sang that song, that high, high song at the beginning of the service. Saved, saved. What does saved mean? It means that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. It means we put our faith and trust in Him to take us to heaven when we die. That's what being saved is all about. It's not being rescued from a tragedy or rescued from bad circumstances. Biblically, saved simply means this. We put our faith and trust in Him. And the Bible says we are saved by faith. In verse number 9, it says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans chapter 5 tells us a story about Abraham. Could Abraham walk in before God and say, "God," or could anyone walk in before God and say, "God, look at my works. I deserve to be here in heaven. I was a good enough person." The Bible says that's impossible. There's some verses there in the book of Job. They flee my mind right now, but Job says, God says to Job, "If you could do this, 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 and this, then will I declare that thy right hand can save thee." And God gave Job five things that are impossible for you and I to do, like create the universe. We're saved by faith, not by works. But our works will reflect our faith. That's why many religions get the two confused and bind them together. But God makes a distinction between the two. Faith is the root. Works are the fruit. And whatever your faith is in, your works will follow that. It is faith that saves you. It is the good works that others see. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16? "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." All right? Faith can't be seen. Good works can be seen. "Let your faith so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So, Christian, how is your faith today? How is it shining? How is it showing forth? For by it, the Bible says, the elders obtained a good report. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham, God looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. They did these things, but the basis for it was their faith. So when God looks at us, He's not looking for the works, because He knows the works are just a result of the faith. He's looking for the faith. So So how is your faith? For the faith is the root, works are the fruit, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse number 1 gives us the definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 2 gives us the testimony of faith. Then verse number 3 gives us the understanding of faith. The understanding of faith. Verse 3 says this, through faith we understand. I like that. Through faith we understand. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Not only does our faith affect our works, it affects our understanding. Some people just don't have the faith to believe. Don't have the faith to take that next step. By faith we understand. Here's what it is, folks. Faith will open your eyes. You know what God does? God gives you a little bit of light. And then when He gives you a little bit of light, He waits to see how you'll react to it before He gives you more light. If He gives you some light and you shut it down and you just close it out, God says, all right, I tried. John chapter 1, verse number 6, this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Once in every human being's life, at least once in every human being's life, God shows a light on them and the Holy Spirit of God begins to work on their heart. Now it's up to them what they're going to do with it. As I said earlier, faith is your choice. You choose to believe, you choose not to believe, you choose what to believe. And so the Bible tells us that faith will give us understanding. It will open our eyes to things. And then the writer of Hebrews gives us an example of that. And this just amazes me. You realize this book of Hebrews was written by the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago, almost 2,000 years ago. All right? None of us were here then. 2,000 years ago, Paul penned these words in verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Paul, back in that day, 2,000 years ago, wanted to look for an example of faith, an example for how to believe what you believe. And everything he could examine and everything he could see and everything he looked for, you know what he came up with? The creation story. You'd think he wrote this in 2021. Out of everything Paul could think of to give an illustration about whether your understanding is opened or not, he chose God's creation of the world in 6 days in Genesis chapter 1. The very thing that befuddles so many multitude of people right now today. The very thing that is mocked and ridiculed and laughed at and scorned by so many today. Paul, 2,000 years... Can I tell you this, that up until the 1880s, 1880 years after this is written, or at least 1800 years, up until then, everybody believed the creation story. Everybody believed, every culture, every climate, everybody had some kind of reference to the creation, whether it was the biblical account or some other account that kind of matched it or shadowed it. Everybody believed that till the 1800s. And back before all that time, for some reason, Paul said, if I want to give them an example about having your eyes open and your understanding open, I will pick the creation story. And he wrote it back then, not knowing, but God knowing, that 1,800 years later, some fellow named Charles Darwin was going to write this little volume called Origin of the Species and introduce this new theory to mankind of how the world came into existence. And that multitudes of people, not so much in 1880 because it wasn't received seriously. Nobody took it as serious science at the time. But God knowing that from that time on, a lot of folks were going to decide, if I'm going to place my faith in something, I'm going to place it in Charles Darwin. I'm going to place it on the theory of evolution. I'm going to place it in the fact that we evolved from a big bang and came out of the primordial soup and crawled up on the land and developed arms and legs and brains and lungs and hearts and all this kind of stuff. This is all just an accidental thing that happened. That wasn't introduced until 1800 years after Paul wrote this. And yet the Holy Spirit of God knew that's what was coming down the pike. This is what was going to trip up so many people. And that if people wanted the truth, they were going to have to purposely decide the truth and have their eyes open and their understanding by faith. See, everybody has faith. We say often when it comes to the evolutionary theory, it takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe the Word of God. If you've ever been in a doctor's office, I don't care what it is, your eyes, and they got a diagram of an eyeball up there on the table with all the veins and all the parts it takes to make that one thing work. If you're in at the foot doctor and it's showing all the ligaments and all of everything that makes those toes move and sensitive to feeling and all that, there is no part of the human body that if you look at all that, I can't fathom. I just can't fathom. Somebody looks at that and says, isn't that a miracle of chance? That all that just happened the way it was. That man was formed, man evolved the way he did. Instead of the biblical account of God made man in His own image. You decide where you want to place your faith. And the best place to put your faith is in the Word of God. Now, I've come a long way around to get there, but it's exactly where I wanted to be when I got to this point. Because there is no other source that is any more infallible and any more correct than the Word of God. Folks, the Bible is not some old, archaic, outdated book. And if you read it, you'll find that out. You get into the book of Job where he's talking about the astrology and the planets and the systems and the seasons of the sun and the ice and the snow and all those kind of things. And that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Job existed before Moses, who wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And from that point forward, that Bible is just jam-packed with information. It's just whether you decide whether to believe it or not. Look if you would, at John 11. We've got just a couple of minutes here, but look at John chapter 11. Emphasizing this fact, you decide, you choose what you believe. I can't make you believe anything. I can't force you to believe anything. I can try to encourage you to believe. I can try to influence you to believe. But you have to make a personal decision on what you believe. What you accept as the supreme authority. And here's the difficult thing. When someone says, well, I choose this, that, or the other over what God says, that's idolatry. See, idolatry is not just bowing down to some little statue made with hands. Idolatry is putting anything before God. And when someone says, well, I know what the Bible says, but I believe, you know what you just said? I think I'm smarter than God. And you can paint it any way you want to, try to make it look flattering or humble or anything. Your ego's just too big. Because when you say, I believe, you know, somebody says that, I don't know what I believe. Well, that might be an honest statement, but really what you just said is, I know what God said, but I'm not sure if I believe it or not. You just brought God down to this level and put yourself above Him. That's a dangerous thing to do. John chapter 11, I told you to turn there, verse 25. John 11, verse 25. Jesus is talking to Martha, Lazarus' sister. And He says to her in verse 25 of John 11, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Can I stop just a moment to say, no works in there, no baptism in there, nothing. He that believeth in Me, it's faith. All right, it's just faith. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Notice his question. Believest thou this? The ball's in your court. The decision is yours. The Lord has already laid out the truth, whether it's creation, whether it's salvation. He's already laid out the truth. Now He's just waiting, believest thou this? And it's your opportunity to either say, yea, Lord, I believe, or no, Lord, I don't believe. Somebody says, well, I don't answer either way. If you haven't accepted what He said, you've rejected it. He says to her, believest thou this? In verse 27, she said, yea, Lord, I believe. You know, Martha's in heaven, according to the testimony of the Word of God. Why? Because of trials she went through, because of things she experienced, because she helped prepare a supper for the Lord when He came there through Bethany. No, because she believed. She put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's all it takes. God in His Word gives us understanding. He says in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, have faith in God. That's what He's told you. Have faith in God. He didn't give it as an option. He didn't give it as a possibility. He didn't give it one as many. He said, number one, have faith in God. That's your duty and your responsibility. Everybody. Now our reaction is this. Yea, Lord. I believe. Or, no, not yet, not time, not now. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What determines what we believe? What determines what our faith is in? I don't want to get off track, but you know, people hear somebody talking about global warming and they believe it. They hear them talking about this subject or that subject. Well, the experts say and they believe it. Can I tell you there's a greater expert than any human being that's ever lived? And that's the Lord God Almighty. And if He says it, it's true. And faith comes by hearing. You know why we're here this morning? This is just one message out of 52 Sundays in a year. But you know why we come? We come simply to hear something from this. Because this is where our faith comes from. This is what increases our faith. This is what helps grow our faith. And not just here on Sunday morning. We come back Sunday night, Wednesday night. But you take that home with you. And you open it during the week and you read it and say, Lord, show me what I should believe. Show me what my faith should be in. I'm bombarded in this world today by they telling me this, 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 and the other thing. Lord, what do You have to say? Have faith in God. Philip asked that Ethiopian man who was traveling from Jerusalem back toward Ethiopia. God directed him to go over and meet that man, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. He had a scroll and he was reading from the book of Isaiah. He was reading about Jesus Christ, but he didn't know that's what he was reading about because he didn't know who the man was that they were describing. He was led as a sheep before his shearers was dumb. He opened not his mouth. And Philip preached unto him Jesus. And he said to that man, he said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You know what he said? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made a decision. He chose. Now again, some folks say, well, I haven't chose for Him, but I haven't chose against Him. Yes, you have. If you haven't believed what He said and chosen what He declared, you have said, I'm smarter than He is. It's not for me. What God wants is not what I want. You'll get what you want. And it won't be God. Folks, I don't want to end this on a negative note with a threatening tone. I want to say simply this. Have faith in God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. And let those good works follow, because your works do follow. You know, the Bible says, and their works do follow them. It doesn't determine their eternal destiny, but it follows them. What you are follows you. One place or the other. have faith in God. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed.